And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Happy Monday. What's good, everyone? Brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 4 Waiver Wire Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dew with you on the heels of the Heritage Classic on Sunday, Pete.
Yeah, and Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. It was great to see Connor McDavid back in living color there and making an impact with an assist. Everybody's been talking about Jack Hughes, and rightfully so far this season, Anna, but the guy still has 9 points in 6 games and has yet to really heat up, so count him back into all those awards conversations right now.
I mean, Connor McDavid's in a league of his own, but guys, I just have to say my highlight from this weekend was Connor McDavid saying that Nickelback is one of the greatest bands of all time. So if that isn't a preview of him going on a heater sometime soon, I don't know what is.
Yep, it's a lot of fun to see McDavid and company back in the mix here for the Edmonton Oilers, and certainly a big 2 points. Like, that was the key to this whole game for me, was the fact that both teams needed those 2 points. And I know it's cliche to say, but the Oilers go in there, they get the job done. Now, to quote the late Yogi Berra, we love Yogiisms here on the podcast. It's getting late early, guys. I don't even know if that was a true Yogiism, but it feels that way, Pete, in the fantasy world right now.
Yeah, and I just wanted to touch on the Calgary Flames. I'm not going to, you know, put out the flame just yet here on their season and their playoff chances, but it's just one thing after another with this team, and so much roster turnover, Anna, in recent years. Matthew Tkachuk gone, Johnny Gaudreau gone, Tyler Toffoli gone. It's like every year they lose one of their best players. You hate to see that from their standpoint. But really, other than Elias Lindholm, who's in a contract year and could get traded before the deadline, I'm not really gravitating to this team fantasy-wise anymore, plain and simple.
I've been out on the Flames since before the season started. Guys, this is a team that I'm avoiding. I've said it many times again. Like, I think there are better options. The Vancouver Canucks have stood out to me as kind of like a replacement franchise in that eyes. And maybe I thought there was a chance that they could be competitive towards the end of the season. But based off of what we've seen so far, I feel like I made the right call, Nick.
Yep, I think so. I will give this team probably 10 to 15 more games. I always like to exercise patience, as you guys know on this podcast, as we do this right now. It is still October, so if we're having the same conversation in mid-November around Thanksgiving, then yeah, I think there's a bigger issue. But certainly, you're starting to raise some eyebrows with that team. We all thought it was the head coach. Now Ryan Huska comes in, and it's the same old story for that team. Can't keep the puck out of the net. Can't really score goals. Some of the guys they paid big money to really can't do their thing. Well, let's get to the waiver wire. Week 4, guys, it's here. And there's some pretty under-the-radar type names, Pete. We can start at the top here with, I think, a feel-good story. And Marco Rossi has really found his footing now at the NHL level.
Right, yeah. He was one of the guys during the COVID ups and downs. Like, that really hit him hard a couple of years ago. And he was never really in the NHL. I think he played like 1 or 2 games last year. Hadn't really made an impact until this year, and you've seen a couple of goals here. You've seen the 3 strong lines of the Minnesota Wild make impacts on different shifts, different nights, which is really encouraging for that team's depth. And I think that Marco Rossi is like one of those, whatever you want to call them, rookie-eligible players that just has a glimmer here to make an impact and improve over the course of the season, Anna.
Similarly to the Columbus Blue Jackets, I feel like when we take a look at the Minnesota Wild, that first line center spot is kind of up for grabs as the season goes along. So if Marco Rossi really continues to prove himself and gets the opportunity to play with Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello, that could be like the steal of the year in fantasy.
Well, that's what I was just going to add. It's like, it's unfortunate. So Rossi's starting to buzz here, but Ryan Hartman's been on a different planet. And I think that's the key attachment you want in Minnesota, right, Pete, is that exposure to Kirill Kaprizov. By his standards, like, it's been an okay start for Kaprizov, but I'm waiting for him to take that next step. But a guy like Marco Rossi, I think the attachment, to a guy like Kaprizov can really uplift him. That's one thing I'm monitoring this season, because there's a reason why they drafted him as high as they did, right?
Absolutely. And Matt Boldy's not back yet. He hasn't played since October 14th. He's week to week with an injury. When he comes back, their secondary scoring is going to explode, even strength and on the power play. And Rossi could be along for the ride if they can develop some chemistry there. They haven't played much together so far in their NHL careers. But keeper league-wise, that's got to be a storyline you're looking at here if you're talking about a ceiling. It's not just boom or bust, the Kaprizov line. It's the Boldy line, too, as a nice little insurance policy, and you like to see that if you're picking this guy up, hoping he's going to pay dividends for the rest of the season.
You certainly do, and Minnesota is one of those teams where it's been an up-and-down start. They really can't keep the puck out of the net, but certainly the injuries have played a big factor with there, you know, with Jared Spurgeon and others, and Matt Boldy, as you just mentioned. So another team I think I'll give a couple more weeks to before making an idea of what I think of those two teams, you know, that team one way or another. Ridly Gregg, and is on this list as well. The Ottawa Senators, another team that's been an up and down, but I think you're looking for depth from a team that can score, so Ridly Gregg's a guy we're identifying this week.
Absolutely. The Ottawa Senators as a franchise is one of those teams where, like, yeah, you want to see their season-long projections and how they pan out and if they make the playoffs. But even if they don't make the playoffs and they lose games, you can get, like, a lot of value out of guys like Ridly Gregg. Josh Norris, Tim Stützle are kind of, like, stealing this show for the Senators right now. Brady Tkachuk, as always. But I feel like when you're looking at their, like, bottom six and their blue line, this team is not, like, the most deep team in fantasy in the league, but they're definitely up there in my eyes, guys.
A little bit of an injury blow, though, with Ottawa and that depth, at least on defense, with Thomas Chabot out 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, they're going to miss him. He was playing on the top pair, right, with Chychrun, and then they had Sanderson on second pair, but first power play. I feel like there's just a negative ripple effect on the overall defense and Korpisalo with that injury, and that's, you know, a month and a half. So they're going to have to try to piece together the outlook during that time and hang around with Tampa and Buffalo and Detroit in this playoff race.
I watch hockey over the weekend. I'm like, Buffalo, you just have no luck. The Ottawa Senators, you have no luck. But I'm happy you brought up Chabot's name, because obviously people are going to come to this podcast today and look for injury replacements for Chabot, who's going to miss the extended time here. So I like Travis Sanheim, 8 points in 8 games. Sean Durzi, 5 points in 7 games. Ivan Provorov, 6 points in 8 games. Filip Hronek, guys, has had a great start here. Pretty much taking off from where he left with Detroit last year, right? 7 assists in 8 games. He's playing with Quinn Hughes. He's on a 50-point pace right now.
Rasmus Anderson, I don't want to counteract what I just said earlier in the show. Steer clear of the Flames. One of the only lights at the end of the tunnel for this team in the short term is that Rasmus Anderson, their power play one quarterback, is eligible to return from his 4-game suspension this Wednesday, November 1st. So that's at least a bit of a buffer to them and maybe could improve their offense here. But yeah, I think when you look on the blue line, it's there are a lot of difficult situations. Like, even you see some guys that were secondary guys in preseason drafts, like Luke Hughes has been on power play one, and a lot of people are asking about him. Fan questions, of course, delivered by Skip. How does this impact Dougie Hamilton? And it's not like you could go pick up Luke Hughes. He's like 75% rostered in fantasy already.
Yeah, you can't, but the New Jersey Devils do have the best power play in the entire NHL at the moment. And when I'm looking at a team like that, their second power play unit might just be as valuable, not as valuable, but they're going to be more valuable than a lot of other teams' first power play unit. So in that eyes, I feel like Dougie Hamilton is still a good option. He's a good category coverage player. So I feel like at the end of the day, you're not going to go wrong with having him on your roster. And he's had a decent start to the year so far. Luke Hughes is just kind of stealing the show.
Well, it's funny you say that, Anna. That's the big story in New Jersey right now, is like he's stealing some power play time away from Dougie Hamilton. And we wondered how quickly this would happen. I didn't think it was going to happen like 10 games into the season. I know we got a couple questions brought to you by our good friends over at Skip about Dougie Hamilton, what to do with him. I'm staying the course. I'm chilling out. It's a long season, Pete. I think he's going to get his cookies, but there's no doubt he's off to a slow start. And I think it's music to the ears of Luke Hughes owners right now, obviously.
Right, and even if you look at some of these other teams, like people are down on Bowen Byram, people are down on Owen Power. I've gotten a lot of questions in the past couple of days about whether I should drop those guys. And at the drop of a hat, really, on any of those teams, they could look for a spark in the younger player, or there could be an injury, right? Like even Cale Makar the other day took a rough hit and, you know, could have been injured from that. Luckily, he came back into the game, but that's the risk you run in any player, any upper echelon player. And then if you have the depth behind them, you can either handcuff them in drafts. If you didn't do that, you could try to swing a trade for a Power or a Byram in the hope that he maybe gets a chance at some point this season, which I think they both will.
And there's still a lot of competition in the blue line this season, guys. I feel like more so than last year. Usually we see like two or three guys pulling away from the pack. Right now there's 11 players in the NHL who have between 8 to 10 points as defensemen. And those are a lot of options. Some names we briefly mentioned. Travis Sanheim is in that mix. He has 8 points in 8 games, second most time on ice per game in the entire NHL this season. So he's a player I'm watching. Shane Gostisbehere has 9 points in 9 games. So there's some names sprinkled in there that you wouldn't expect, and some guys you do expect, but the blue line is just, there's a lot of options.
Right, and when you look at Vegas in particular, that was a big injury development, right, Nick? Pietrangelo came back from injury the other day. One of the hottest scorers at the position in the league this season is Shea Theodore, tied for the league lead among defensemen in points with 10. But do you worry about him coming back down to earth? I think that's a valid concern. You've seen some career inconsistency there. And then you always see those depth guys on Vegas, like the big guy this year is Kaiden Korzak, 4 points in 5 games. Role has diminished a little bit since Pietrangelo came back, but very productive and a big surprise so far on D.
Yeah, to me, as a team, this has been the biggest story for me early on in the season. Maybe a bit of a surprise, which is crazy to say because they won the Stanley Cup last year, but it's Vegas being 8-0-1. And I think I always tread carefully with both Pietrangelo and Theodore just because of the injury concerns. Like, these guys do get banged up quite a bit. There's no doubt Theodore's off to an impeccable start. Maybe he sniffs around in the Norris conversation this season. But I think from that sort of angle, I would probably tread carefully on both those guys. I think they come back to reality, and I think you're going to see some other guys step up on that roster. Nick Hague's another guy in it with the Vegas Golden Knights that's been playing really, really well early on, but they've been unbelievable.
We spent like the majority of the show so far talking about the blue line, but since we're talking about Vegas, we got an interesting fan question presented by our good friends over at Skip that I wanted to mention. They said someone drops Chandler Stephenson in their league. Should he drop Ryan Johansson to pick up Chandler Stephenson? In my eyes, I feel like I would lean Stephenson. Like, Vegas is off to a pretty hot start this year. Chandler Stephenson played really well during the playoffs last year. I like their lineup placement, and Vegas is kind of silencing all their haters, so I might lean in that direction for now.
Yeah, I would go Stephenson as well. I just I don't have complete faith all season long in Ryan Johansson. I know he had 6 shots on goal in that loss to Buffalo on Sunday. That's a big concern, I think, if you're looking for category coverage. What does this guy do outside of pick up assists and points and attachments big? But they have jumbled up McKinnon and Rantanen in there in the top six, so I think he's worthwhile to have on your roster. But the way Chandler Stephenson's been producing at the fantasy level for the last couple of years, it's probably his direction I'm leaning, Pete.
I echo that for sure. Stevenson's been so consistent over the past 3 years with Vegas. And Ryan Johansson, I mean, there were more times than not in recent years where the guy wasn't fantasy relevant at all. Do I expect him to stick as the number two center in Colorado for the entire season? Yes, absolutely. Do I expect him to stick on the first power play all season long? That's a big question. And I would lean towards no. So, yeah, I like that Stevenson pickup. I'm surprised that anybody would drop him, even in a shallow league. But
there's another center on Vegas that's got your attention and many attention in the fantasy world, and that's William Karlsson, right? Like, a 6-game point streak right now for the Vegas Golden Knights, and it just shows you that depth at the middle could be huge for your team. And you look at a guy like Karlsson, last we looked, still under 40% rostered in Yahoo Fantasy, and this is another guy who makes a lot of sense right now.
He does, and he's showed flashes in the past of being a really solid player for this Vegas Golden Knights team. He was a bright spot when they first became an organization, and he kind of led the pack and found his own in Vegas, so I'm not really surprised that he's doing well. His lineup placement is what really concerns me, though, because how long can he maintain this level of production when he's playing like largely on their third line? And when we're talking about depth down the middle, guys, like, if I had to decide between him and someone like Dylan Strome, like, it's a no-brainer in my eyes that I'm going in Dylan Strome's direction right now. Probably one of the most underrated players so far this season. He's tearing it up in Washington. He's like the brightest spot on their team. And even if Washington is losing a bunch of games, like, Dylan Strome is playing the way everyone thought he would play when he was drafted so high in the NHL.
I think this is funny that Washington's off just a pitiful start, and they're better than the Pittsburgh Penguins, and nobody's talking about that, right? Like, I think they've won a couple games, all of a sudden they're ahead of Pittsburgh in the standings, and it's right where these two teams we thought they were going to be, right, Pete? But I love the Strome look, right? There's going to be the attachment to Ovechkin. On top of that, the big boys in Washington really haven't showed up yet. Like, what happens when these guys show up? I think Strome's going to get the gratuities here.
Right, and even if you're looking at Oshie as being a little past his prime, like, Ovi's still a juggernaut in this league. Tom Wilson has been bumped all around the lineup so far, but I expect him to rise to the top and be an anchor in a good way for this Capitals team. And back to William Karlsson, just wanted to mention that something clicked for him again last postseason, 17 points in 22 games, even though he was playing on the third line at the time with Riley Smith. So like Karlsson, Wild Bill, whatever you want to call him, is back to that form. Not quite his first year, but like he's really fantasy relevant again for sure.
It's early, but it is refreshing for me to look at the standings and see the Pittsburgh Penguins where they are, because there was so much time spent talking about the Pittsburgh Penguins all offseason, and the folks that really know the pucks know that, you know, how much better did they really get? I'm looking at the waiver wire, and I'm picking them up just based on the name. I don't know where other people are on him, but this guy, Bobby Brink, what a name. Maybe the best name
Bobby
in the NHL. Bobby Brink, baby. and the Philadelphia Flyers, I faded him, as we all know. I thought Minnesota would go in there and bring him back down to earth. Did not happen. Was upset. Billy Guerin had to been fuming like I was. But Bobby Brink, where are we at with Bobby?
If this guy continues, they're going to call him Bobby Brink's truck, right? 7 games, 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points. I think the concern with me, because he's a guy I actually streamed over the weekend to success, obviously. He's on the third line, but he gets power play one duties, right? So he's like that tweener type guy. We just talked about a William Karlsson being sort of in the same boat. But numbers are numbers, right? He put them up in the AHL. Now he's doing them in the NHL. And as long as he continues to produce, he's going to get his minutes here, Anna.
He is, but when I'm looking at this Philadelphia Flyers lineup, guys, they got a little Carolina Hurricanes in them, because I don't hate that third line, because Bobby Brink, he's playing with Joel Farabee, and Joel Farabee's also been playing pretty well as of recent, 5 points, 3 goals in his past 5 games. So when I'm looking at that line combination on their third line, I don't even hate his lineup placement, because I feel like they're really spreading the wealth in Philadelphia, and they're off to a surprising start this season. But I did say so many times that they would still be fantasy relevant this season, even though they're not a playoff contender.
And I really like Owen Tippett, too. We've been talking about it at different points, but his value in bangers leagues with hits and block shots and shots on goal. And then when the goals start coming, like, he really will skyrocket in the rankings. And you've seen that already in recent games with him starting to chip in and find the back of the net. So I would probably lean Owen Tippett over Bobby Brink, but it's about time. Like, we're getting close. We're not quite at a month mark of the season, but we're getting there. And if the Flyers remain fantasy relevant and playing higher scoring games, right, like they did over the weekend, you got to take notice in fantasy.
Yeah, here's one cold take I had from the preseason, that Philadelphia was going to have the worst record in the NHL. My apologies to everybody in San Jose. It will be you. You are that bad. 0-8-1 are the San Jose Sharks. It's going to be a tough year for them. I don't know who you own on that San Jose roster when it comes to fantasy. Let's get to the crease here, guys. Anna, we'll start with you. UPL's on the list. Again, we all know how I feel about rookie goaltenders. I faded Devin Levi. Feeling good about that. Hopefully gets back and fully healthy for this team really, really soon. But it takes some time for goalies to find their footing in the league, and UPL stepped up large with a shutout against the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday. Luckily, they have that depth to overcome an injury like this, but there's a couple other guys that you're looking at. Lucas Dostal is another one here with the Anaheim Ducks.
That's tough for me deciding between those two. I might lean Lucas Dostal for the Ducks right now, because it seems like he's on his way to maybe be a consistent goalie for this squad, whereas UPL, I don't think he has that necessarily staying power. And Buffalo, it was a good win, guys, but I saw them play like to kick off the season, and I was like, what is going on with like the Buffalo Sabres? So this team is high highs and low lows so far across this first month, whereas with Anaheim, I know what I'm getting. I just need some saves, and I need some goalie that's pretty consistent, so I think I might actually lean in that direction, Pete.
Their shooting percentage as a team at 5-on-5 has improved drastically since earlier in the season. They're up to 7th in the league in 5-on-5 shooting percentage. So really all they need is their guys to make some timely saves. And you didn't see it early in the year from Levi when he was healthy. Now he's banged up, like Nick said. And to me, this is a good sign. You're not going to lean, hopefully for Buffalo's sake, they don't have to lean on UPL very often. But if you have that quality backup that could even steal you a game here and there, like he did on Saturday or Sunday, I think it was, against the Avalanche, with the shutout. I mean, that was really impressive and a sign that this team overall has some bounce back appeal. And we got a fan question about Tristan Jarry. Should you trade Tristan Jarry for Devin Levi in the hope that Levi comes back? I thought that was an interesting one. I probably would make that move just because Jari's kind of like middle of the road starter right now.
Yeah, Jarry jars me. So yes, I would do that move. If you drafted Tristan Jarry, I don't know what you're doing to begin with. But nevertheless, Devin Levi, like there's a high upside, right? And I think Buffalo's in store for a strong finish to this season, if you want to call it that. I think it's close, Anna, but I would probably go Levi there.
I agree. I think we're making it 3-for-3 right there. Oh, I feel like I know.
Trifecta.
Rarely do we all agree, but I think I'm on the same page with both of you guys on that one.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, we roll on here. Some injury replacements to talk about. We talked about Thomas Chabot. Nico Hischier. It's been a turbulent start for him. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. Banged up again. The internal name I have, and producer Bob says to drop this guy, but I'm not endorsing it just yet. Dawson Mercer, I think, is going to benefit from this injury. Other names, Seth Jarvis off to a great start. Nick Paul with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Pete, has he finally arrived? Can we finally say this?
Well, one good thing about Carolina is they're getting healthy now. Svechnikov came back the other day. Freddie Anderson's back, got the win in his first game back against Seattle. Sebastian Aho's been back for a couple of games. So now we could start, you know, talking about the Hurricanes as not a slow starting team, but a team that is finding its footing, depending on whatever music they're listening to in that locker room, right, Anna? So it's been fun to watch them kind of regain their course and remain an elite team in this league over the past couple of games.
Petey, I could be wrong. Did you take Carolina to win the cup this year?
I had them in the finals against Edmonton, so okay, not to win it, but to get there. They're due to get there. Hard to believe they haven't made it yet under Rod Brind'Amour. That seems like only a matter of time if they stay healthy, Anna.
Shockingly, I did have Carolina taking it in the cup final. To all of our listeners, never saw that one coming, guys. But I've said this a million bazillion times. None of their skater metrics really concern me so far this season. When you're looking at offensive zone time, they're second in the league right now. Maybe even first in the league. One of the top two for sure at the moment. So the Carolina Hurricanes put in shots, put in goals. They're just allowing more goals than they usually do. But they're not allowing more shots than they usually do. So it's a goalie concern in my eyes. And you're absolutely going to get value in any of their forwards. Kotkaniemi, Seth Jarvis, list goes on and on.
A lot of teams that have goalie issues. The thing with Carolina, too, right, is that's a team that just has to get in, right? They've already gone through all the scenarios as a playoff team, that core group where they just snuck in, they had the first round upset, they've went deep. So just get in if you're you're Carolina.
And then get a save when you're in there, right?
Yes, you got to get the saves.
And we got to give them a little bit of credit. I mean, when you're looking at their core group and you're like, oh man, I wonder how this hasn't happened yet. Like half the guys on this team are younger than I am. So their core group is quite young. Yeah. They're quite young, or they're at least like my age. And they've just made the playoffs so many times in recent years. And we expected them to do well. We're like, why aren't they doing well? They're going to have like guys like Svechnikov, Aho, Natchez, like Teravainen, list goes on and on for a decent amount of time. So it's going to come. It's due for this team.
It's a fair point because I always like to bring up the names Stamkos and Ovechkin, how long it took those guys to win, right? And I think you look at teams like even Toronto, I throw into that conversation, it's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, some of these teams will pull through eventually, but it does take a while. It's hard to win in this league. Brought to you by Skip. A good question, Pete. We'll put you on the spot for this one. Is it time to drop Barbashev, right? That's a big name we pimped following his big offseason with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Right. Sometimes he's on the third line. Sometimes he's back up top with Marchessault and Eichel. When he's up there, I think he should be a fixture on everybody's roster. But I know the production trends have been swinging a little bit for him. So I don't think he is a definite to keep for the entire season based on what we've seen so far. But I think Vegas, more times than not, you break the tie and stick with them. I mean, I was even looking. We were talking about their third liners earlier. You know, he could still be relevant on a third line. The backup goalie, Logan Thompson, Nick, that we really liked last year. He's undefeated, 930 save percentage in four games. So nice little bounce back for him. He didn't let that fact that Aiden Hill took over last postseason shake his confidence at all so far.
I don't know if like the Vegas Golden Knights editing team is like gaslighting me right now, guys, or what, but like even a guy like Paul Cotter, when I saw like that highlight video of the goal he scored last week, my goodness, that was a phenomenal well shot video. And he's getting like two shots a night, had a couple of goals in back-to-back games, and he's another player I'm watching in case Barbashev isn't panning out within that squad.
Of course, we're all over that on Thursday's podcast, sort of pimping the Vegas Golden Knights and the depth they possess, right? And certainly to your point about the Carolina Hurricanes, like it's the same thing with a team like Vegas where there's so many different guys who can beat you, and I think that's what makes them so difficult to play against. Can we figure out what's happening with the Seattle Kraken? So they signed Philip Grubauer to be their number one, but your guy, Joey Decord, I start to wonder if he supplanted Grubauer in between the pipes. He's appeared in four of the past five, 2-1-2, 2.88. A 912, you look at Grubauer, 0-4-0, 3.04, 896. What do you think, Pete? And number two, would you go anywhere near Seattle's crease right now?
Probably not. I'll wait and see. Show me a little bit more, Joey Decord. So I think, Seattle in general is not really, other than Vince Dunn, is not really a team that I'm taking many players from right now. But they do have the track record as recently as last season, so just wait and see approach to that team. I need to see more victories before I could get back on the hype train here.
Come on, Nick. We all know Pete's a JoJo guy in the crease.
He's panned out well.
If you picked up Jonas Johansson when Vasilevsky went down, if you were playing preseason DFS, you got a couple of shutouts. He's hanging around not only with that team in the standings, but he has really good numbers this season. So it's insane that this guy has played for so many. Right? He played for the Avalanche. He played for the Panthers. He played now for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he's getting some good assignments here, and I think he's proven that he's at least should be playing in the NHL.
Yeah, consider this my formal apology to Jonas Johansson. He's been a good story. I looked in both of my leagues. He's top 50 right now in rankings. And again, as we intimated off the top to start the year, John Cooper is very live. He's never won the Jack Adams, right? And if he somehow gets this Tampa team to the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think he deserves a lot of credit. Obviously, there's going to be other contenders in that conversation, but to do this with a goaltender that statistically did not have great numbers in his NHL career, really, really impressed. Let's get to the schedule this week, guys. So there's 46 games. I won't lie, not crazy about this schedule either. It's got a weird, weird stagger. 9 games Monday, 2 on Halloween. Wednesday's got 4, Thursday 12, Friday 2, 15 on Saturday, and then 2 on Sunday. So the teams I'd be looking at, 4-game teams, Arizona, Dallas, Philadelphia, Vegas, there's 4 of them. The 2-game teams, Calgary, Colorado, Edmonton, Minnesota, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Washington. I actually had a buddy at Beer League Hockey yesterday ask me schedule manipulation, and I said, hey, do it to whatever makes you feel good. I think the big question is, like, should I drop somebody who's like 70% owned to pick up somebody who's like 10% just because they play more games? Probably not. I think you have to do it within reason, right, Pete?
Yeah, and you ride the team trends as well. In week 4, whatever this is right now, I'm not as quick to cut the cord on someone as I am, later in the season when you're either making a playoff push or pushing for a number one in the standings. I think right now, like, you can even look at a team like the Florida Panthers. I think a lot of us were down on them in the preseason, picking them to miss the playoffs because of the injuries that they had. Even with a slow start to Matthew Tkachuk's season, they've won 4 out of 5, and now they're starting to get a sense that the band could be getting back together soon, right? It sounds like Ekblad and Montour, Nick, are both going to practice and travel with the team on the road trip. And I guess Sam Bennett could come back this week as well. That's a completely different team look and feel when those three guys are back healthy, and it's going to happen soon.
It's going to happen soon, and I like the Panthers' number tonight. I at some point, Boston has to, the wheels have to fall off. I just like the number on the Panthers. Don't know if they're going to win the game, but good number for the Panthers going into Boston. Nicholas?
I like it. You know what number I don't like is the goose egg beside Blake Wheeler's name. So I wonder if a return to Winnipeg can get that number changed. Same with Connor Brown. I can't believe how often we pump that guy in the offseason. He's sitting on 0. I had people in Edmonton saying he's getting 55, 60 points this season. Well, he better play catch up. So I like that look, Bobby. I'm actually on the Winnipeg Jets tonight, the Winnipeg Jets against the New York Rangers. The Rangers have won 4 in a row. I think they're due for a clunker. I think Wheeler beats the Winnipeg Jets, but at MSG, it's not going to be on the road in Winnipeg.
One thing I didn't expect from the Rangers this year is that they would have a quality backup, but Jonathan Quick's allowed like one goal in three appearances or something and had a shutout against Edmonton the other day. Again, it was McDavid being out for Edmonton in that game, but still, I mean, that's a little eye-opening, right? From third stringer for Vegas's cup-winning team and some rough seasons in recent years, Johnny Quick is thriving with his hometown team in the Rangers.
He really is. And the New York Rangers so far this season is another one of those teams, guys, where I just don't know. Like, I don't know. It's so strange because they have guys like Lafreniere, who's had a hot and cold start. Like, he's a different player every single night that I see him on the ice. Like, some nights he looks like he's finally panning out for this team. Other nights he's just completely unremarkable in every single way. And so the New York Rangers is one of those squads where I'm like, are they cup contenders? Is their window closed? What's going to happen? Blake Wheeler didn't fit in. I thought that was like the steal of the offseason. And every night it's just like a toss up in my eyes. And that's like probably the most confusing team right now, I feel like, in the NHL for me to make my opinion on.
Yeah, the one thing I could tell you is that Artemi Panarin's doing really, really well with Peter Laviolette. Like, Panarin's playing like Panarin Chicago right now, and it's really, really scary. Some other spots I like, Nashville, Vancouver, assuming it's Demko and Saros on Tuesday. I like the under, over between New Jersey and Minnesota on Thursday. Got a feature matchup coming up on Saturday, Colorado and Vegas. Can't wait for that one. I'm probably siding with the Avalanche in that game. And we got an Erik Karlsson revenge game coming up on Saturday. His return to San Jose, and I have Pittsburgh by 7 in that game, Pete.
Yeah, that's I don't know what to say about the Sharks at this point, but I wanted to mention a nice matchup coming up on Monday, Halloween Eve, between Connor Bedard and Logan Cooley. Get all over that one in the props market. I think we saw a nice glimmer from the Blackhawks in ending the Golden Knights winning streak the other day. I mean, that was not something I suspected. And, you know, this is not an underdog spot necessarily, but I think when they're able to pull off a win like that, you could look at them game by game, situational spots, and say, especially when Chicago's home underdogs. I know they won that game on the road, but like, they're a sneaky team any given night.
Dallas and Columbus, too, guys, on Monday's slate. I feel like I'm all over the Dallas Stars in that one, and I feel like there's so many good prop options specifically on the Stars in that matchup.
Coming up on Monday, we're going to do an action collab with our boy Michael Leboff. Look at the schedule for the upcoming week. Look at what we've seen so far as he faltered a bit on Mikhail Sergachev for the Norris Trophy. Your questions will have answers on Monday, Pete.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that back going and checking in with Leboff. Always has great insight. Even we were all laughing at those picks like Pettersson and Stutzla, but they don't look half bad right now. Yeah. So excited to see just short of a month into the season all those different trends that he's putting his money on in the industry right now.
And, of course, looking forward to Thursday, the waiver wire edition today, obviously, and then coming up the mailbag edition, week 4 mailbag edition coming up on Thursday. So that's when we'll catch up next. Thanks to producer Bob Bender, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.